Proverbs 18, verse number 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Oh, my goodness. Last couple of Sundays, I believe, I don't know if I've shared on Wednesday nights, but on Sundays, I believe I've been sharing about the tongue. Some things about the end. It keeps coming up in my spirit in preparing for the service. It came back up. So we're going to stick with it. Because I believe, you know, I know in healing school years ago, we were preaching there in Kenneth Hagin Ministries Healing School. And I noticed that the Lord led us a lot to minister on faith. People were there for healing. It was closed to anybody just coming in the mornings, at least, for just to hear the word. It was closed to people just in the mornings for just that needed healing. And so that's what they were coming for. And you would think we would preach on healing most of the time. And we did. Healing sometimes, I mean. But most of the time, God would lead us to teach and preach on faith. One day it dawned on me, we don't talk about healing as much. We do refer to it all through the classes, but that's not usually the subject that the Lord, when we come in, that the Lord's putting on our heart to talk about. And it was a pattern over and over and over again. And I noticed that, and I went to the Lord about it. I knew some things about why, because I knew that Jesus would say over and over again, your faith made you whole. You know, but, and so really, I mean, If you want something, and if you want B and A is how you get it, emphasize A and B will show up, you know, kind of thing. And so it was one of those kinds of deals. And I knew what Jesus had said over and over again, your faith made you whole. But I went to the Lord and I wanted to talk to him about it. I wanted to hear what he had to say about it. Of course, he already spoken his word. But I just wanted to know specifically about healing school. I said, Lord, I noticed you're always leading us to teach on faith and a lot on what you say. And I said, Lord, talk to me about this, because we find ourselves not talking as much about redemption and healing, although we do, you know, occasionally through probably every service, just referred to it, about, you know, by his stripes we are healed, and, you know, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, you know, and all those verses. We refer to them, but we don't really come in just talking about them so much. And I noticed that and went to the Lord, and the Lord said to me, he said, most of these people that are coming here know that. Amen. And he said, where they're missing it is not in believing that. They're missing it in using their faith. Well, I'm assuming that's really true about most people. Now, there's a segment of the body of Christ don't know by his stripes we're healed. They just know that, you know, Jesus took our sins and so forth, you know. But, and we got to get the message of the whole message of redemption to them. Yeah. But right on the other hand, folks like us, we know that backwards and forwards. Yeah. We can dream about it and talk about it in our sleep and, you know, quote it without even thinking. And we know it. Yeah. And I'm not saying don't keep on reinforcing that, but you can know all that and not use your faith and not exercise your faith in it, and it not work for you. I remember one time when I first started learning to believe God, I remember this was back in Rhema days. Well, actually, we had already graduated, but I mean, we're still there at Rhema Bible Church in Tulsa and attending there. This is really before our traveling ministry really got started. So it's between that time of graduating from Bible school and really getting on the road and preaching a lot, traveling a lot. And so we had gotten married, and I'll never forget, I'm just learning to walk by faith in things. And you know, we had been taught about redemption from sickness and so forth. And so I never forget, I had always gotten the flu up until that time during every winter for at least once. Now, most of the times, twice. And up until that time, and I decided I'm not going to take this anymore. I know he redeemed me from sickness and disease. By his stripes, I was healed. Himself took my infirmities and bore my... Now, why am I putting up? I'm going to learn to get rid of this and not have the flu every winter. Amen. By the way, I have learned to do that. things like the flu, I don't even hardly think about it anymore. I mean, I don't even have a sniffle hardly anymore. That's why COVID didn't scare me, because I knew I got this. I got this, you know. Oh, it's so good to walk by faith. I'm not accusing anybody that did get it, because we're all growing and learning how to do that. But many of you who did get it, you got it off of you. You knew how to get it off of you. So glory, you're learning, getting there. Anyway, I said, Lord, I started having the flu symptoms. I never forget, she was in choir practice one Sunday night. There was choir practice before the Sunday night service. Wednesday night, okay, thank you. That was maybe 5 o'clock, 5:30, you had to be there or something. And main Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. So I would, we only had one car at that time. And so I would take her to choir practice. And rather than run home, rather than her go by herself and then try to run home real quick and get me before service, I just took her. I dressed for church, took her, and I just sit in the parking lot, just wait, whatever, an hour or so. And then I go into the service. Well, I'm out there, and I'm snorting and honking and blowing my nose. I got the flu. My throat's all tight. And I said, all right, this is a good opportunity to sit here and meditate on Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. And I just got totally engrossed in Isaiah 53, and I took every word and dissected it, meditated on it, fed on it. Surely, that was the first word that stood out to me. This is a sure thing. Surely. And every word came alive to me, and I got thrilled from the Word of God, from Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Just got thrilled about it. And I looked at my watch, and it was time to go into service, so I got out of my car. I don't even remember if I walked. I might have floated to the front door of the church. I mean, I'm high on the Word. You know, you can get drunk on the Word and get happy over the Word. But I'm still snorting. You know what I'm talking about? Still sucking snot back up, you know. Sorry, we're country folk around here. I apologize. Amen. So, but I never forget, I'm just high on Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, and I stepped up, I never forget, the parking lot, you know, walked across the parking lot, and I got to the curb where the sidewalk was, where it went into the building. I stepped up on the curb. I can take you to the square spot of concrete where this happened. You know, spiritual things mark you. You know exactly where they happen. I can take you to the square spot. I stepped up on that 5 inches, whatever that is. Stepped up on that sidewalk, and the Holy Ghost spoke up in my spirit and said, therefore, believe that you receive. I heard it just as clear as I've ever heard God speak to me ever. Therefore, believe that you receive. Now, if I wasn't floating to that point, I think I was floating at that point. After that, so I said, oh, glory to God. Oh, yeah, that's it. I see it's true in the Word, but I've got to practice Mark 11, 24. Yes, believe that I receive it. So I was actually so excited, I went to do it and started laughing, and it took me a few steps to actually say it. I'm like, whoa. And so I said it right out loud. I said, I believe that I receive healing from the flu, cold, whatever it was. And God is my witness, you know, that lying's dangerous, you know. Before God, I tell you the truth and lie not. It was as if somebody took a plunger and it just left. My throat loosened up, the runny nose stopped, the ears unplugged. And I never forget that for some reason I remember just reaching for the door of the church, the handle on the door of the church, and going, woo, I got healed before I got to church. I didn't have to wait to get to church.
Yes, sir, amen.
Woo, glory to God. But see, you can be all happy about Isaiah 53, 4, and 5, but you got to mix faith with it. Remember the fourth chapter of Hebrews? The word that was preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Not being mixed with faith. Well, how do you mix your faith? You say something. Let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
That's Psalm 107, 20. Or no, 2. Psalm 107, 2, right? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, if it would work without you saying it, why did he say so? It won't work without us mixing our faith with what Jesus did. There's a Godward side and there's a manward side to all these things. And so what God was saying to me was, whenever he was talking to me about us being led so often to minister in healing school on the subject of faith, and especially confession, he was saying, they know that they're redeemed by the blood of Jesus from sickness and disease. Most of those people that came to Kenneth Hagin Ministries Healing School, the reason they came was because they had fed on that ministry and they had found out they were redeemed from the curse of the law. They found that out. They had learned that from the Word, not just because a man taught it, but he would go to the verses, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. Well, we got to know what the curse of the law is, and we were in that chapter in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. That's what we're redeemed from. But the Lord was saying, they know that, but the area of where they're missing it so often is they're not mixing their faith with it. You know, I love where's Nathan and Mary? They're sitting in here. So there's Nathan. I love their testimony because he didn't really believe it at first, but then he believed it and it still wasn't working, but he had to start mixing his faith. Whatever you do, do it in faith. I said, whatever you do, do it in faith. We got to the place that we developed we developed being able to say how faith works so clearly in healing school. I'll never forget some of those services. We stuck with this message of saying it. See, that's how you mix faith. You're not sticking out your tongue at your neighbor, but you're sticking out, you're going to show him your tongue. Turn to your neighbor, show him your tongue, and point to it and say, right there's the mixer. That's how you mix faith with the Word of God. I said, that's how you mix faith with the Word of God. Now, I'm going to warn you ahead of time, I'm going to get happy today, all right? I'm going to get happy. So we developed the ability by the help of the Spirit. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying, but the Lord helped us just continue to work with that message and work, get the dross out and say it real clear and real plain, and to where faith got so high in those services that we would stand up at the end of the service and say, and I would say, or Pastor David would say, repeat after me, by his stripes, and they would say it, I am healed, they would say it. Therefore, I call my, and I would start naming body parts. I call my liver healed. I call my heart healed. I speak to my body, it's healed. And I call my ears open. And we would, that thing got so high that healing, we'd start doing that and healings would start popping like popcorn. Just bam, I got it, got it, got it. Bam, over here, somebody, I got it, I got it. That's what I want to do here at Spirit of Faith with this message of confession.
Yes, yes, amen, amen.
Woo, glory to God. I remember, I'll tell you one testimony, a man that came, he didn't even want to come. His wife came, his wife kind of drug him there. He was diagnosed, I think he was a Vietnam veteran, he was diagnosed with cancer of the lungs. And it was in a stage where it was really affecting his breathing. It was hard for him to put out any energy, just walking, you know. He had to sit down after walking and just try to get his breath back. But cancer is destroying his lungs. And I'll never forget, he didn't even want to be. I found out later he didn't even want to be there. His wife just said, now we're going to healing school. You know? All right. You know? So he came and sat there and heard the message and the word and heard about how to receive it by faith. And I never forget, we had them all stand up and we started doing that. I would just by the Spirit speak out body parts that I was led to say. And I said, I don't remember what all the other ones were, heart and lung, whatever I said. And then I said, I call my lungs healed. And I was going to say something else, like I call my arm healed, or I was going to say whatever else it was. And my tongue wouldn't say something else, wouldn't say arm, it would say lungs. I said, all right. Well, I said that twice. Let me say something else. I call my lungs healed. All right. I said that three times. Let me say, so I call my lungs healed. My tongue wanted to say lungs again. I don't know. I must have said that four, five, six times. Finally, you know, after six times, I got it. Somebody here is being healed of their lungs. And I said, who is it? Who is it? And he said, it's me. He said, it's going all over my lungs. He said, I can feel it in there. And he said, I'm being healed. Right now. And the power of God just went surging into his lungs. He went back to his doctor. I don't remember how many days it was, but he went back to his doctor. And, you know, the doctor put that thing, what's that, stethoscope or whatever? Put that on his lungs, said, breathe. And so he went, He said, do it again. He said, that's interesting. Do that again. He said, do that again. He said, I've never heard anything like that. He said, Doc, what are you hearing? He said, well, I can hear these little, like he said, like, that's the way he described it. And the doctor said, I've never heard anything like that. And the man said, well, Doc, what is that? He said, I know exactly what it is. He said, those lung cells are reinflating. You know, he said, that those little cavities in there, the little where all the air goes into, they're reinflating. And the doctor, documented the percentage of his lungs that was restored. And he was 30, then 50, and then went all the way up, and then was completely healed of lung cancer. Glory to God. So what we're going to share this morning isn't something to just say, oh, I've heard all that. That doesn't, faith doesn't work by hearing. It works by doing.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And that man got so impressed with God that he decided to get back right with God. And then he went to Rhema Bible Training Center and graduated and went out and helped another pastor. I don't think he had a call to pastor, but he went out and helped another pastor. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. That's what we should do with our healing. Go serve Jesus with it, you know. Serve Jesus with it. Glory to God. So, are you interested in this message? That man could actually say this, Proverbs 18:21 is actually true. Death and life were in the power of his tongue. He'd have been dead if it hadn't have been for him changing what he had in his tongue. Isn't that right? And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now I want you to notice a couple of words. Verse 20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit. Circle the word fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips, circle the word increase of his lips, shall he be filled. Now, he's talking about the mouth and the lips. And then in verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So he's talking about mouth, lips, and tongue. Well, how many of you know that you use all three of those to speak? He's talking about the words we speak. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. Then he says, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Circle the word fruit. So in verse 20, you've got fruit and you've got increase in circled. And in verse 21, you've got fruit circled. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
If you have a pen, maybe you don't have a pen, but you can see those words. Fruit, increase, and fruit.
Yeah.
Now you look those words up. They're all words that have to do with they're translated different ways. Increase, for example, the root word for increase is income. I didn't make that up. That's actually right out of the Greek study help, actually the Strong's. The root word for the word increase is income. And the root word means to come, to attain, to bring forth or bring in or bring to pass, to call, to fetch, get, pull in. That's the root word. And the actual word here means to produce fruit or crops, and is also translated gain, increase, revenue, income, or gain. Well, gain, I said gain twice. Gain, increase, revenue, income. Well, they're all farmers, and whenever they produced fruit or had crops, that was income. Can't you see what he's saying? So it's interesting that he's talking about the words we speak, and notice that's translated with this word, like here's the one of the words, income. Let's say Deuteronomy. Let's read this here in Proverbs 18, verse number 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the income of his mouth. And the Greek word there, increase, is this one we just looked at. And the income of his lips shall he be filled. With the increase or the income of his lips. Let's take this word increase, or that's already there, gain. Then let's say, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the gain of his mouth, and with the gain of his lips shall he be filled. You're going to eat the gain of the words you speak. Now, here's my favorite one. Revenue. Because that's one of the definitions right out of the Greek help. I didn't make it up. It's actually translated that way in the Old Testament. All right, so let's read that revenue. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the revenue of his mouth, and with the revenue of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the revenue thereof. Now, is he talking about money? No. He's talking about words. Yeah. Come on. Words are the coins and bills of your life. Some of you wonder why I don't come over here, because I don't hear as much amens over here. That's why I don't hear much. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
He's talking about the revenue of your tongue.
Yes, sir.
Whoa. Oh, I don't know if you're ready for this morning. It's interesting that God inspired Solomon here to describe the words that a man speaks in financial terms. Isn't that interesting? In other words, he tells us that our words are like revenue or money. Isn't that right? Our words are like revenue and money. It's how we get things. If I need groceries, well, I don't go. Pastor Debbie goes, or somebody else goes, and we use money. They use our money if they go. Isn't that right? To get groceries. If I need a new pair of shoes, the other day I was out and somebody was coming over and I was opening the door for them, and there was snow out there and there was some of it kind of on the sidewalk, and I took my shoe and it was just a casual shoe, and I pushed some of the snow away, and the sole of the shoe just sort of started falling off. Well, I thought, after 15 years, I guess they are probably ready to wear out. That's about how old they were. They were old. I mean, they look good still. So I would need another new pair of shoes. So I went and got me some nicer ones. But I did that. How did I bring those shoes into my house? I did it with the revenue that I had, the coins and bills, or, you know, you put it on your card and pay it off, however you do it. Isn't that right? And so what he's saying is, your words are the what you use for transactions. With heaven. Ah. They're like revenue and money. It's how you get things. And it's also how you send things out of your life. If you have a vehicle that you want to, you don't want it anymore, and you want to get another one. You want to get a newer one because that one's got a lot of miles on, whatever. And so you want to get another one. You know how you do it? You know how you get it out of your life?
Yeah.
With revenue.
Yes. Yeah.
With bills. You receive somebody's bills, somebody's money, and they take the. In other words, that transaction is made.
Yeah.
With currency. Your words are the currency of your life. They can cause things to leave your life, and they can cause things to come to your life. Now, that's obvious. Jesus was impressed with only about two or three people's faith in his earth walk when he walked the earth. He was impressed, and a couple of times he said he marveled at their faith. One time was in Luke 7. You might want to go over there. Luke 7 is an indicator of something about faith that maybe people don't realize. But Jesus is ministering, and someone sent this centurion, actually, sent word to Jesus that his servant was sick, and he said, come and lay your hands on him, and he'll be healed. And then he changed and said, you don't even have to come under my roof. But he said, the reason you don't need to come under my roof is found here. Notice in verse number... Because Jesus is on his way in verse number 6. But then he sent word and said, "Trouble not the master, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy thou shouldst come under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee." This is Luke 7, verse number 7. "But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." In other words, you just say the word. Four, verse 8, "I also..." Now, there's so much revelation here. You need to get this. "For I also..." Notice, circle the word "also." So, because what he's saying is, in this respect that I'm getting ready to say here, I'm just like you, Jesus. "I also am a man set under authority." Now, he's in the Roman military. He's a Roman centurion. That's over 100 men. You know, if somebody lives to be 100 years old now, we call them centurions. That's because they live to be 100 years old. This man is a centurion. The word "century" means 100. So he's over 100 men. And he's saying, in the military, in the Roman military, I have men under me. Notice how he said this: "For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers." So he's saying, I'm under a man who's got command of the larger section of the army that I'm in. And he gives me a command, and I obey him. And then he said, "I have men under me. I have soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard those things, he marveled. The understanding this man had of faith marveled Jesus. I don't know about you. I want my faith to make Jesus go, "Father. Father God,
yes.
Look at him.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Look at his understanding of how faith works."
Yes, sir. Amen.
"He marveled at him, turning about, and said unto the people that follow him, I say unto you, I've not found so great faith, not in Israel." I believe he's kicking his heels up about it.
Yeah.
He is thrilled. Yeah. Finally. He said, "I didn't even find this in all Israel." Israel's the people of God. He had to go outside the church to find this kind of faith. Isn't that right? Now notice, back verse 8, "I also am a man." In other words, Jesus, I recognize the structure. I recognize authority and how it works. I say to this man... I'm not making it up. It's in your Bible. Here's how authority works, Jesus. And I know you also are under authority. And because you're under authority, you can say, you can speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Because I also, in other words, I know you're under the authority of heaven, and you say it, it'll come to pass.
Yes, sir.
He said, "I understand authority. That's how authority works. It works through words."
Yes.
And notice he said, words spoken, a man in authority who speaks words can make things come and make things go. Now, there's some things in my life I decided the other day, that's it. I've made a decision. No more. And I've been saying like I've never said. Because I'm set under authority, and I have the right to decree a thing, and it'll be established unto me.
Amen. Amen.
Job 22:28. I can decree a thing, and it be established unto me. I can say to this mountain, "Be thou removed, be thou cast to sea." Shall not die. Well, no, wait a minute. You're not Jesus. He was under the authority of the Father God, but you're not. No, I am. If I'm saying in line with his word, this word is his authority. The truth carries his own authority. You don't have to give it authority. It is authority. And you just say it, and it will come to pass. I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe Jesus. Jesus said, "You'll have what you say." Mark 11:23, isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
So this man, this centurion, said, "I understand authority, and this authority works through words, and the words that I speak cause things to go and cause things to come." In other words, he's using his words to do that, to cause things to, you can, in other words, he's saying, Any man under authority of heaven and under the authority, speaking in the authority of God's word. Because God has exalted his word above his name. His word is his authority. When you and I speak his word, we are submitting to his authority. Not the other, we're not saying he's lied about it because of the authority of what I see. Take the authority, what you see has no authority above the authority of what God has said. And I'm under the authority of God's word. And if I'm saying what he said, I'm under his authority, and what I say will come to pass. Not because he said it, but because I said it. There's a lot of things God said, but it's not working for people. It's because they've got to mix faith. Amen. Hallelujah. He was using his words, and we can use our words to cause things to go out of our life and to come into our life. Amen. Woo, man, I don't know how you sit there like that. I remember one time Pastor Debbie and I were driving to a meeting. We were going to preach in, wasn't Findlay that time. What was that, where the secretary came from? anyway, a place in Ohio. It doesn't matter. We had good meetings there. I'll never forget it. But we were preaching, we were driving there, and I'll never forget, we were praying in the Spirit. Pastor Debbie and I were driving maybe an hour or more. I mean, we were driving longer than that, but the last hour or so, we were praying in the Spirit. We got pretty close to town where we were going to preach, and while I'm praying in the Spirit, a word of prophecy came up. Under inspiration of the Spirit, I heard myself say this, and I don't know, I had never thought about it, never heard anybody say this before, but I had her write it down because I was driving. Faith is the only currency in the kingdom of heaven that is legal tender. Yes, yes, it's the only thing God honors in exchange for goods and services.
Yes, sir.
I had her write that down. I really didn't need her to write it down. I mean, it was burned in me because the Holy Ghost said it. Faith. Say that out loud. Faith is the only, say it with me. Faith is the only currency in the kingdom of God that is legal tender. It's the only thing God honors in exchange for goods and services. Say it again. Now you're memorizing it. Faith is the only currency in the kingdom of God that is legal tender. It's the only thing God honors in exchange for goods and services. Now, you need to write that down. Don't let that get past you. Let's say it again. Some of you are trying to write it down, trying to remember. Faith is the only currency in the kingdom of God that is legal tender. Actually, what he said was kingdom of heaven. I don't know that it matters, but you can write down kingdom of heaven. Faith is the only currency in the kingdom of heaven that is legal tender. It's the only thing God honors in exchange for goods and services. Well, he doesn't honor good works. Amen. I said he doesn't honor. There's a lot of things he doesn't honor. As far as receiving from him, now he honors, you know, good works. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm talking about trying to earn something by good works, like healing for good. He doesn't honor that. I mean, you're worthy of healing because of what he did. Hallelujah. I've seen people that received healing because they mixed faith with it that I wouldn't have thought that it would have worked. Now, if your conscience is bothering you, that's going to hinder that, but it's not God saying, no, I'm not going to receive. No, it's your own conscience hindering that, not God. Amen. I'll tell you, we're getting some help here this morning. Faith is the only currency in the kingdom of heaven that is legal tender. You getting it? What's the next line? It's the only thing God honors in exchange for goods and services. We mean goods. Well, any of the good things of God that he has for you, what are services? How about some body work on this body? You know, you have your car service, you pull it in, they jack it up, and they service your car. There's times you need to pull your body in to God's body shop and have it jacked up, and I need some service on that right leg, if you could, right there.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. God says, all right, say this. That's how he's working on it. That gives him permission to work on it.
Amen.
That authorizes him to do it. Praise the Lord. I could preach on this for 17 weeks. And I still wouldn't get over the thrill of it. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, are you getting it? Amen. Well, where are we going to get the money? You're going to get it from your mouth. How are we going to pay for it? With the coins of your words. You won't be able to do it without saying it. And listen, here's the thing. Faith has the same value in every nation, in every city. Well, we're living in the Midwest. There's just not much around, not much money, not much opportunity. That's because you say so. Faith has the same value in every city, in every country, no matter where a person is. Amen. Yeah, amen. Praise God. It's a universal currency. In other words, it holds the same value in every nation. It has the same purchasing power in every nation, in every city. Well, you know, if we lived in Chicago, there's a lot more money there and we could do that. Well, see, that's your wrong thinking and that's your wrong speaking. And that'll limit you. I'm looking for some people to demonstrate to Cedar Rapids real faith. How about we be the church that does it? Where they keep saying, I don't know how they're doing that. You know, there's a lot of things I still don't know how I've been doing it. Well, I know, but I mean, as far as a natural explanation, you know, woo, glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. If you look in the natural, you're not sure how it happened. You're not sure how it worked. But we just didn't look to the natural as for our revenue. We looked to the words of our mouth. And we just kept saying it. We just kept saying it. We just kept saying it. That's how we paid this church off. We just kept saying it. Just keep 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 saying it. I said, just keep saying it. Ooh, glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Hallelujah. We use money to live. We use money to eat. We use money to pay our bills. We use money to get clothes or whatever we need to wear. We use money to travel. We use money to do everything. Your words can do all of that for you. Your words can take you places. Just like we travel by money. You know, you need to travel on a plane, you buy a ticket with your money. Well, I just can't afford to do that. We'd love to take a vacation. You know, we've been working nose to grindstone for years, and we just never have had a vacation. We can never afford it. Well, see right there, the coins are your money. If you would use your words to buy a vacation. Pastor Debbie and I, for our 25-year anniversary, we're now at whatever 1988 to present is. 32? No, yeah, whatever. Anyway, I don't sit around and think about those things, do you? Can I go home with somebody? I got to go home. But when we were on our 25-year anniversary, well, before we got to our 25th, we started saying, I don't know how many, a couple years ahead of time, something like that. For our 25-year anniversary, we're going on a vacation to Hawaii. And we're not going to get a hotel. We're going to rent a house. And we're going to have a tent. Well, the travel days are 14 days. But in the country, 10 days in the country. In the state of Hawaii. So we started saying it. I don't know if you've ever gone to Hawaii or not. I mean, one hotel room, one night's like $800 or something like that.
Yeah.
Come on.
But this girl stuck with me, and I wanted to do something for her. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I felt the anointing, Sister Maya.
That's right.
And so we started saying it.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, we said it for a while, and then we let it go, and then we, yeah, yeah. And so we just kept saying it. And I would, and so we found a place. We found, picked a date, found a place over there. And Pastor Debbie had the witness of the Spirit. This big house, big house. I mean, well, with the extra house, probably 4,000. I mean, there's a little pool house outside, kind of like an extra guest quarters house. Probably about 4,000 square feet or more than that, something like that. Well, you didn't need all that space. No, we didn't need it. But our words got it. And we stayed there up on, this is in the island of Kauai. That's the one we like. Well, up on a cliff or a bluff, and there's no houses between this house and the bluff, and you just look out over the ocean. You could barely see, if you kind of look like this, you could see a house over here, but you could barely see houses over here. It's like us in our own little paradise. The property had acreage. I don't know how many acres it was, but it looked like maybe 5 or more acres, maybe. And all these flowering trees and just greenery and a swimming pool and a guest house that I'd go out there and pray real loud and wouldn't wake her up. Amen. It cost some coins. Some coinage. I looked at the total and we got back. I'm like, whoa. But how do we pay for it? Cash. But how do we pay for it? Words. Words. Praise the Lord. You got to look at your words like currency. I said, look at your words like currency. You could, you might say, well, is it all about selfish things for yourself? No, you could say, I'm going to give the church. I'm going to sow a seed to a missionary, or I'm going to sow, and you say it, and you can start to say it. And it comes to pass. Now, you might say, well, I can't start out at 100,000. Maybe I can start out at 5,000. All right, start saying 5,000. I'm going to give, you can just, if it comes up in your spirit, I'm going to give it, I'm not telling you to do it. I'm not setting an amount for you is what I'm saying. But you can start saying, I'm going to give, whatever, whoever you got in your heart, somebody $5,000, one-time gift. Amen. Start to say it. And the devil said, you could never do that. You're having trouble paying your bills. You say, shut up. I'm using words to cause the increase. Hallelujah. 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 So treat your words like currency, like you would in money in the natural realm, and because your words are money in the spirit realm. And you can use them to bring things in. And here's the best part. You can be out of money, but you'll never run out of words. The bank account goes down, and the thought comes, well, we're not going to be able to do that this month. I don't have the money. But you still got the words. You still got the words. Amen. You've still got this word, and you can still use your words and speak this word. You don't have to have a dime in your pocket to say, I am rich. You don't have to. You did, might run out of money, but you'll never run out of words. You need to take your words seriously. Amen. And only speak them consciously. Not just, you know, I know the Lord's been dealing with me about little things I'll just flippantly say. I don't remember it. There was something the other day, I don't remember what it was now. Wish I remembered, I'd tell you. But I just said it, and I'm like, no, that's not the Word of God. You know, because sometimes we try to say things funny or something like that. Like I was talking to you about the Lord dealt with me to go to the physical therapist for my back. Thank God it keeps doing better and better, because I say so. But she was, the lady that was working with me, she started talking about nerves and so forth and how they work. And she said, nerves, she said something funny. And I laughed and I thought about it. Wait a minute, I'm not taking that. I'm not taking that. I'm not going to go around saying that. Here's what she said. She said, nerves are like an offended mother-in-law. She said, they get hurt real quick, and they take a long time to forgive and forget it, you know. And I went, ha, 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 whoa, wait a minute. I like funny stuff, but I can't say that. Anybody enjoy having funny things and talking about funny things sometime? I like to laugh. Amen. When I got saved, I got joy. How about you? But some things are funny, but they're not faith. So I told one person, and I said, now I want you to know I'm not believing this, but this is funny. I said, but I call my nerves healed in Jesus' name. Yeah, but I can't say that anymore. But so what I'm saying is, use your word. Be conscious of what you're saying. Don't just say things and then you know, unbelief things. You know, so take your words seriously and spend them consciously and on purpose. Why? Because you're going to get what you say. You know, it's like an offended mother-in-law, nerves heal up slow. And then, well, I'm calling my body healed. That doesn't work. Amen. Yeah, I got a good mother-in-law, so that doesn't even work. So, I mean, you know. Amen. Have you ever heard stories of... All right, pipe down back there, pipe down. Have you ever heard stories of children going online and unbeknownst to the parent buying a car or buying something? You ever heard that? Because, you know, the parent will have their credit, maybe, I don't know, wherever, eBay. I don't even know if you can buy cars on eBay, but can you buy cars on, okay. Maybe they're on eBay or something and their parents have an account on eBay and they got their credit card in there. You know, and the child's on there playing around and pushing buttons and push the buy the car thing, and it charged that credit card, and an email came, you just bought a car, you know. You ever heard something like that? What happened? That parent wasn't, now that credit card's like money. That's how one way we spend money today, isn't that right? That parent, here's the problem with that. The parent wasn't guarding their money. So they got something they didn't want. See, your words are currency. Guard your words, or you're going to get something you didn't order. I mean, you ordered it, but you didn't want it. Be like, ding, ding, the delivery man shows up, ding, ding, pushes the doorbell, and then he leaves, and you go out, and you and here's a box of rattlesnakes. It's like, I didn't order them. But how many of you know when we're speaking wrong words, we're causing it to come in? It's like we bought it. Isn't that right? So guard your words. What you say is going to show up on your doorstep, so to speak. Spend your words consciously. If you're at a restaurant and the waitress comes to take your order, speak what you want. Be conscious of what you're saying. And speak it on purpose. Yeah. Otherwise, because whatever you say, you're going to get, you know. Because that's how you got it. You said it. That waitress went back and they made what you said. Amen. Your words carry significance. You need to write that statement down. You might need to write this down. Your words carry significance because you have authority. And what you say is what is authorized. That's why the Job 22:28 says, you'll say a thing and it'll be established unto you. Job 22:28. Established means it'll be brought to pass. It'll be established and made to come to pass. So why? Because you're authorized. Your words are authorizing it to come to pass. I'm preaching better than your amen. This has so helped me in life. Pastor Debbie and I just don't speak things that so many people speak. The further you go, the more you got to guard what you're saying. Guard your words, just like you would guard your money. I mean, like that parent that didn't guard their credit card, you know, the eBay account or whatever that their credit card was hooked up to. Hallelujah. So just like we exchange money for to cause things to come and cause things to go and leave our lives. We use words in the same way. Amen. There's, like I said, there's just some things I wonder how we do it. I mean, every now and then my mind just sort of starts thinking and trying to start calculating and think, how on earth? And I have to back out of that because it's not natural. What's working for us is not natural. It's a spiritual law we have set in motion. Amen. It's like a testimony I heard at a church one time, preaching one time, and this, I don't remember what I was preaching on, but this couple came up and they said, you know, we got a hold of the message of redemption from the curse of the law and started using our words like we're talking about this morning, and they said, and we started prospering, and things started happening, and income started coming that was at other sources, and things were happening, and raises, and things, you know, just everything just started breaking loose. And they said, our family, whose minds were unrenewed, obviously, got so suspicious of what they were doing that they actually came over to the house and tried to make them fess up. Okay, you're dealing drugs or something. You know, you can serve the devil and this will work, but poor old God, you can't serve his, you can't be loyal to his word and speak his word and, you know, anything good happen, you know. Amen. 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 Now, go to Job 22:28, but go in the Amplified. Go in the Amplified. Praise God for the word. Job 22:28, we've referred to this several times. Job 22:28. This is the Amplified. I don't know if you've ever read the Amplified. I like it. It's a good translation. Actually, this is the classic. They now have another one called the Amplified. This is the classic. It says, you shall also, this is the Amplified, decide and decree a thing, and it'll be established unto you. And the light shall, the light of God's favor shall shine upon your way. Say, decide and decree. I like that. That's powerful right there. Now, you look up the word decree. The definition of decree means to cut something off, to cut off, or to cut down or cut off, destroy, or to decree. So what he's talking about, you decide and decree means you decide and cut off what you have been wavering about, and you just simply say, that's it. I'm done with wavering. I'm cutting off doubt. You ever taken a long time to get into faith? Because like, well, maybe the Lord's wanting to say something to me. I don't know what it is I'm doing wrong. I'm missing it somewhere. And you're kind of going along that way. I mean, yeah, pray and say, Lord, if there's anything I need to know, show me. But otherwise, I decide right now, I'm not wavering about this. I've settled it. See, when you decide something, you settle it. You decide and you decree. You cut off indecision. You cut off wavering. You cut off the questions. You cut off the discussion. You just decide and say, this is the way it's going to be.
Amen.
Cut off doubt at the knees and destroy it. And you make your stand on God's word. I like something Dr. Summerall said. He said, you make decisions and decisions make you. Sometime, somewhere, we got to decide we're going to believe God. God has said the truth about this. God said the truth about this. We got to decide that. Now, there's a verse in 1 Timothy 1:4 that, you, if you want to go there, you can, but I'll just refer to it. 1 Timothy 1:4. Y'all still with me out there?
Yes, sir.
We're not going to go a whole lot longer here. But 1 Timothy 1:4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Underline the word endless. Genealogies, which minister questions, and underline the word questions. He's talking about people that go on and on about, well, really, in their case, they're going on and on about Jesus' physical lineage or genealogy. Well, was he Messiah or not? Let's dig into all the genealogy and all of that. Well, actually, that genealogy is given in, what is it, Matthew chapter number 1. It shows that he is. But the point is, people want to dig into all these natural data and facts and so forth and so on. And he's saying, and fables are things that are just you know, made up stories. He's saying, those things, if your mind is on those things, they minister questions.
Amen.
Notice that. And he said they're endless questions. I read that for years and didn't see what he was saying. Look at that. He said, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which men are questions. If the genealogies are endless, then the questions are endless. Well, we're still not sure because great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa, you know, we don't know for sure where his daddy was from, you know, and you know, just endless. And just, you know, in other words, the point is people get into that kind of stuff and they never settle it. You got to get to the place where you settle it. That's it. By his stripes, I was healed. Settled. No more going on and on about questions and discussions. And because remember Jesus said when it comes to faith there in Matthew chapter number 6, he said, take no thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Question. In other words, what are we going to eat? Question mark. What are we going to drink? Question mark. You know where faith stops? Right at that question mark. As long as you still have questions and you still have, you know, thoughts in the back of your mind, well, maybe, you know, I know it says by his stripes I'm healed, but maybe I'm a unique case and maybe God, maybe that's for everybody else, you know, but I've messed up so many times and I've failed. Yeah, what about the blood of Jesus?
Amen.
You got to get to the place where you settle it. I'm worthy. He did it for me. I'm redeemed from sickness and disease, and I believe I receive. It's mine now. Settled. Exclamation point. Take the question marks off. Put an exclamation point. It's done now. Ha ha ha. Now I'm healed. Now I'm healed. You got to get to that place. You got to get to that place. I told you I was going to preach myself happy. And oh, it just starts working when you finally get to that place. You get rid of the doubt. You cut it off at the knees. You say, I'm done figuring it out. I'm done trying to think it through. I'm done trying to figure out where I'm missing it. I'm done. I got it. You decide and you decree. Tell your neighbor, you decide and you decree. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 18:18, and we're closing here. Remember Matthew 18:18, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Notice that. Whatever you bind on earth. In other words, earth starts this. Heaven is waiting to back up earth. I said it's waiting to back up earth. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor he's waiting to back you up. Hallelujah. He's waiting for you to say something. Now, the Amplified, well, actually, if you take, there's many other translations that say it in different ways. Let me give you a synopsis. If you look at some of the other translations, okay, we'll fix this. Let me just finish the service. If you look up some of these other translations, many of them will say forbid or refuse. In other words, whatever you bind on earth. Many of them will say whatever you forbid or refuse. Whatever you forbid or refuse. Now, notice that. Whatever you forbid or refuse. Heaven will say, okay, that's not permitted in their life. They have forbid it. Well, you know, I did this and hurt myself, so I guess I'll just live with this the rest of my life, and it'll be, you know, something I have to stay on top of for the rest of my life. No. I forbid. I refuse. Now, you might say, how do you do that? Words. Words. You don't let your words go there. Well, you know, I'll have this limp for the rest of my life, or I'll have this hoogamooga for the rest of my life. That's some disease. I don't know if you look it up, if that's actually in the dictionary, but it's some disease. Amen. No, by saying, by his stripes I am healed, you're forbidding that. Tell your neighbor, stop petting it. Yeah. And then it goes on, and many of these other translations say, rather than whatever you loose, other translations will say, whatever you allow. Tell your neighbor, allow. Or many of them say, permit. In other words, don't just sit and lazily permit. Amen. Stand up and resist. Spiritually, I'm talking about. Stand spiritually on your spiritual feet and resist it. How do I do that? With your words. With your words. Amen. We can't pet the problem. Cry over it at nighttime. Give it a warm bed. Get up and cry in the shower. Give it a shower in the morning. Go into breakfast. Make your breakfast and feed it breakfast with your tears. Huh? You're permitting it. In other words, what do you mean permitting it? You're not driving that bondage out by the words you speak. You're stroking it, allowing it to remain. Amen. Amen. Some people, they wonder why they keep having problems in that area whenever they're towing it around like a puppy dog. By continuing to say it, it hangs around. It just hangs out with them because it's their pet. Well, I didn't mean to make everybody mad, but I mean, it's just... You got to decide, no, that's not in my mouth anymore. I'm just not living that way anymore. You got to get to that place. I'm not going in and out, up and down, and, you know, in and out of faith. Tell your neighbor he's preaching okay. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember a number of years ago, I don't know, 12, I don't remember how long ago it was. I was paying bills one day, and I was writing out the check for a student loan that Pastor Debbie still had. She had gone to school. So I'm writing out the check. I don't remember what it was. Some $53 or so. You know, the interest real low on those things. And I'm writing that out again. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, how long are you going to let that in your life? It's a debt, you know. Well, I think it was like $26,000 or something like that. We had paid it down. I think it was down like $26,000. I mean, just pay it down by the minimum payment kind of thing. Just making the minimum payment. How long are you going to let that in your life? I got convicted. All of a sudden, $53 was, I got convicted on $53. I don't know if you know what I mean. I'm not saying that to you, what you should do. I'm talking about me and what he said to me, where I was at the time, and so forth and so on. And I got real convicted. I said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. He said, you just need to use your faith and get that thing paid off. That was the last debt we had, besides our house, last debt we had in our lives. So, and we haven't had any since, besides the house. So we said... I went up and talked to Pastor Debbie about what the Lord said. She said, I'm in agreement. Let's put extra on there. I said, well, how much? And I don't remember how we all talked it through, but we started deciding on a certain extra amount, and anything more that came in, we're just going to chunk it on that thing, you know. And I don't remember. I don't think it was 6 months, something like 5 months, 6 months, something like that. That thing's gone. You know why it didn't leave earlier? I was permitting it. I said, how do you do that? Let me describe it this way. You stand up on the inside and say, no more. And you say it and decree a thing. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Cut it off.
Yes, amen.
Cut off the tolerance of it.
Yes.
Cut off being okay with it.
Yes.
I mean, are we redeemed or are we redeemed? Are we redeemed from the curse of the law? Well, let's get her done then. How about it? So let's start decreasing. No more. I'm not tolerating this anymore. I'm cutting this thing off. I'm going to say it and stand. How many of you know say it and stand means we don't waver later and give up our faith later? Well, I tried that. That didn't work. Well, just keep on going. Just keep on going. And if you've dropped something, go back and pick it up. Go back and pick it up. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. 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 I did it. I told you I was going to preach myself happy. Hallelujah. 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 We want to lay things off on God. Well, when God moves on this, you know what that is? Taking responsibility off ourselves. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things that would be happening for a lot of us if we just get in faith and stop wavering. Hallelujah. If you got something from the Word this morning, turn to your neighbor and say, I got what I needed. If you don't want what you needed, I'm going to take yours home with me too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will let you and I have what we're okay with. If we keep saying broke or saying don't have enough or saying sickness or saying it runs in our family or saying all these things or saying, well, this is Iowa, there's just not that kind of money around or saying. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say this. It's not out of anything the church paid us, okay? But I'm getting ready to say something. We got a report on some of our valuables just 2 days, three days ago, whatever it was, that just in that report on paper, you realize this is on paper, our net worth went up 60%. Hallelujah. Has nothing to do with the church gave us anything, so don't go there with your mind. You're like, well, oh, he robbed Peter, he robbed the church. No, nothing to do with that. It has anything to do with our salary. It didn't come from the church. It just comes from investments. Hallelujah. One particular investment doubled, and then there's another one's getting ready to triple. Well, I don't have that kind of money. You got that kind of words. And we've been saying it. We've been saying it. We've been saying it. We've been saying it. Been saying it. Keep on saying it. We just keep saying we're rich. We don't watch shows on TV very much, but if we watch those shows that talk about the rich and the famous, and people talk about the rich, you know, so they're, oh, they're rich. We always say, us too. We're rich. We're rich. Hallelujah. You can poor mouth or you can rich mouth. You can talk about sickness. I notice, for example, there are certain groups that used to have the revelation of divine healing that really, from a couple of generations back, there are lineage spiritually, you know, bring us into the fullness of the Spirit. But you go back in some of those circles today, they are the sickest talking people you have ever met. They're sicker talking than, you know what I mean by sick talking? They're sicker talking than just the average person out in the world. Not me. I don't speak sickness. I don't speak pain. I don't speak sickness. I don't speak infirmity. See, there's three categories. You need to mark it down. There's sickness. There's infirmity, which is just something in your body's not working right. It's weak. Or there's pain. All three, you need to be speaking freedom from all those things. Healed of pain, healed of infirmity, healed of sickness. Hallelujah. He bore all of that. You look up the Greek words. I mean, the Hebrew words are all there. Glory. Let's watch our words. What do you say? Just like that parent that had that car show up. They didn't want because their child. Let's watch our words. So things don't show up. We don't want. Hallelujah. Just something the other day made me remember. I'm closing. But an accident the other day with somebody, and I was reminded. I went to the Lord about it, and he said, "You remember I told you, tell the congregation there's a spirit of destruction trying to destroy accidents, things, winds, fires, all that kind of thing, and tell them to speak the right things." Amen. Amen. Speak the right things. Amen. This is a accident-free, tragedy-free home right here. Sickness-free, because we speak the right things. Now, don't get under condemnation. Amen. But just keep on speaking and keep on saying that we're redeemed from accidents. We're redeemed from that. We're kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're the coins of our words.
Yes.
You may be seated. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of being your children and being redeemed, washed in the blood. Not only redeemed from sin, but redeemed from all the consequences of sin. We thank you for it, Father God. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross so that we could be freed. Thank you, Lord, that Satan is bound and defeated by the blood of Jesus. If there's one person here, Father, under the sound of my voice, that has not made Jesus the Lord of their life, they've not said words of faith, Jesus, be Lord of my life. I believe you died and you raised from the dead. I believe you are the Savior of all the world, and I receive you now as my personal Savior. Father, if they've not said those words, I pray right now that you would draw them to you and make them to know that you are ready. You stand ready to receive them as your child, and they can come today and make a statement of faith, make a stand and a confession of faith in your blood, the blood of your son Jesus, and they can be a child of God. Father, is there anyone under the sound of my voice that needs to do that today? I thank you right now for drawing them to you. I'm just going to ask you, without heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you say, I don't know, I'm here in church this morning, but I don't know for sure that I've ever actually, you know, prayed that prayer, received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You might be a good person. You might be what you in your eyes would consider a very bad person, you know, done many bad things or whatever. Either way, none of our good works is good enough, and all our bad things were put on Jesus through the blood that he shed, through the sacrifice that he made. And you can come either side. You think you've been very good or you think you've not, you can come and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Bible said there's no other way to the Father except through him. If us just being good and going to church and doing good works was good enough, then why would Jesus' blood need to be shed? That's because that's not good enough. Those things aren't good enough. So we want to give you an opportunity this morning, if you're here, to receive Jesus and make him the Savior and the Lord of your life. How would I do that, Pastor Jay? You just raise your hand. Let us know who you are. Wherever you are, raise your hand so we know who we're praying for. We want to know who we're praying for. So if that's you, hold up your hand. I don't know everyone here this morning, and we want to make sure that you're a child of God. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. I see two hands right there. Anyone else? By raising your hand, you're just simply saying, include me in that prayer. Include me. I'm going to pray here in a minute, but I want to include you in that prayer. We're not going to even ask you to come up here. We want you to pray that right where you are. There'll be someone come to you after service and just talk with you and communicate with you and give you some materials and so forth. But we're not going to ask you to come up here. We're going to let you pray right there where you are. So hold up your hand. Anyone else, if you've already lifted your hand, you don't need to lift it again. But by holding your hand up, you're saying, include me. I want to be included in that prayer. I'm going to look one more time. Anyone else? Looking slowly. Anyone else? We've had three. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right. Father God, thank you for these that have raised their hand in Jesus' name. Now, everyone in the congregation, let's pray with them. We're agreeing. We want you that raised your hand to say this right out loud as we've been talking this morning about our words. Say this right out loud so that you can hear yourself say it, all right? And we're all going to join with you and pray this prayer with you. So, but especially those three that raise your hand, say this out loud. Say, Father God in heaven, I come to you in need of a Savior. I need forgiveness. I need washing. I need to make you my Heavenly Father and receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. I confess you rose from the dead. You died on the cross and you rose from the dead, and that you're the Savior. There's no other way to the Father except through you. I come to you, Father, through Jesus in faith. And I confess Jesus is my Lord. And I believe you raised from the dead, Jesus. And right now, I'm saved. Right now, all my sin is forgiven. And I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. And I am now God's very own child. And he is my very own Father. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me. I'm clean. I'm washed in the blood, and now I'm your child. Satan, I renounce you. I'm not living for you anymore. You're gone from my life. In Jesus' name, I'm now free from all my sin and my past. Lift your hands if you would. Just thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for these new ones that have come into the family today. Lord, what a joy to be a part of walking them up to you to receive you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for new members of the family, washed and clean through the blood. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, we have the right to tell you right now that all your past is gone. Now, anything in the past that you did and you're ashamed of or embarrassed about or all of that, Jesus just washed you in the blood from all of that and made you a brand new person.